Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Good day to you all. It's Oliver on the air till 10. We are now 8 days into October 2025, budget hangover day. And the sad news is that when this all clears, it means the presidential election coverage will crank up again. Will it ever end, says you? I hope not, says us. Tap out your thoughts on the WhatsApp, 087 032 32 32. And for your longer letters, you can get in touch with us, oliver@rte.ie. Yes, it's a big day for the students. Would be in transition year right now, wouldn't they? Yes, and they've received their junior cert results, or are receiving them this morning. They used to come out in September. In fact, in 2019 was the year they delayed them by an extra month, much to the annoyance of people, but that's what it is. And before COVID and all the various excuses, it was too much of a workload, is what they said. That's 5-6 years ago now. And the GCSEs in the north for the similar age group are released in August. All done. Before COVID, after COVID, still doing it today. What you need is a bit of Belfast efficiency. That's what you want. We have a great show for you today. By the way, good luck to them is what I meant to all the students getting the results. We have a great show for you to take your mind off the fiscal space for much of the next hour, because we want to talk about a Limerick early years movie star you will never have heard of before, probably. Constance Smith was her name. Wasn't that a good name? Constance Smith. She's a big talent, 40s, 50s in Hollywood. She even presented an award at the Academy Awards, the Oscars, in 1952. And she was in movies opposite Jack Palance. She was known as the Dublin Dietrich, even though she was from Limerick. And that she was tipped to be the next Maureen O'Hara. The kind of Irishness was a big selling point for her. And when she got married to another actor, this was big news as people sat down in the picture houses in 1951 to watch the cinema newsreel. I love this sound. This was the announcement of this young Limerick woman getting married.
A recent wedding of particular interest at Caxton Hall, London, was that of 22-year-old film star Constance Smith and Brian Forbes, the actor. A very happy couple, as you can plainly see. Constance, who, by the way, only recently signed a 7-year contract with 20th Century Fox, looked radiant. Film executives, film stars, friends and relatives were at the reception to wish them long life and happiness, as well as great success in their careers.
Very happy. They were a very happy couple. I think Michael D went to the same elocution in person. But that was it did not go well for poor Constance Smith. Her 7-year deal with 20th Century Fox blew up, and the marriage blew up, and her later life after that is kind of amazing. We're going to talk to playwright and actor Joanne Ryan to reveal all that happened. She's written a play called Connie. And by the way, a lot of Constance Smith's films are available to watch on YouTube and some on the streamers as well, because such is just that era. And she played Irish characters, and they forced her to put on stage Irish accent. Well, I'll play clips and I'll give you everything later on. It's going to be a good crack. 51551 is the text. Right, the budget is over. Everybody, from all the coverage we've been looking at for the last couple of hours, everybody is unhappy. And the opposition complaints are, well, they're very clichéd, aren't they? It's a very Pascal budget, I would say, you know. Tax breaks for developers, multinational giants once again. And this is the ideology, for good or bad, of Pascalnomics, that if you support the private sector with sugary treats to build rental flats, it'll eventually lead to more homes and benefit everybody. Eventually, at some point, one day, maybe, into the future. And he's a fascinating minister, isn't he? Pascal Donohue, he's been in cabinet in a finance brief one way or the other since 2017. So he's probably shaped our economy more than any person, possibly in the history of the state, it could be argued. It's not a budget he would have done this time last year, is it, on the eve of an election? Because there's nothing for most workers in the land, and there are big rewards for what are wealthy corporations instead. What exactly has happened? VAT reduction on the sale of apartments, corporation tax relief for cost rental developments. Important to say that, cost rental bit. This is essential from the government's point of view to have to provide homes. And it's kind of a technocratic view of doing it. But it is a thinking that has created something we never had before. I'd say 2013, 2014, you know, we have thousands of homes in the hands of foreign investment firms. The only people who had any money in that era when we wanted to get property going again in Ireland. But those companies, they own so many homes in Ireland, they've effectively set the price of rent in Ireland for the last decade, and that has only meant massive rent inflation. Then you can't save for a house, and then you have this conflagration in housing, which is a disaster. So the idea is that while the beneficiaries are developers and investors, and it looks bad on a headline, the indirect beneficiaries will be tenants because they get access to more affordable rental homes because they're being built if they're more profitable to developers. And as a result, you get an increased supply of social affordable rental housing because those apartment blocks have to have 10% social housing. We shall see if that works. I did hear someone in Morning Ireland saying that planning alone for some of these apartment developments costs €1 million. Obviously, there's an issue with planning and they get stalled and delayed. But that's what they've done in the budget. The other headline, of course, is the VAT cut that restaurant lobbyists have been shouting about for the last 2 years. The most powerful group in the country. That VAT cut is happening next July. So they must be finally delighted. No, because the minimum wage is going up and the Aiton industry, that's what we call the Aiton houses, what they used to call it. The eating industry is all about kind of low wages. So they're unhappy again. The restaurateurs are truly the new farmers of the modern budget, aren't they? Never, never happy. It is a boost for fast food giants like McDonald's. That has captured the very thin imaginations of opposition people who are calling it the Big Mac budget. And Labour has trotted out of the line. This is the Big Burger and Big Builder budget. Put into all the effort of the people who write greeting cards there. You'd kind of hope the opposition would say, what are you going to do? Instead of just shouting that everything is terrible, because that's what you do every week. And there are alternative budgets. Sinn Féin said it would cut the carbon taxes, which came in at midnight, and there's more to come in the next few weeks. And they said they'd increase tax on anyone earning over €140,000 a year, and they would also continue the cost of living measures that are now at an end. By the way, the students are also very unhappy. Because last year and this year, the contribution fees to colleges was €2,000 per TikTok rotting youngster. Now it'll be €2,500 from next September. I was reading the University Times. They would know this. So that'll be next academic year. What are the reactions in the press? Well, the big headline across the Irish Independent, takeaway budget. Ah, they've hit on the food thing there, you see, as opposed to giveaway and so on. And Mary Regan is writing about the fact that following the sugar rush budget boost of the last couple of years, which had income tax cuts, energy credits, welfare, double bonuses, families and workers are all of a sudden being asked to go on the crash diet because you won't have the double bonus thing. The child benefit is not happening this year. And so the crash diet begins, she says. The longer term vision also excludes the big promises made in the programme for government, which were based on the election promises they made this time last year. What is she talking about? Basically, she's saying that the key among the commitment of the government was to implement progressive changes in taxation if the economy remains strong. So she's saying, well, there's no downturn. The income tax changes are completely left out of the budget, despite what you said. There are minor tweaks for the universal social charge for those in a minimum wage, which, of course, they promised, Fine Gael promised to get rid of that years ago. It's still there. The programme of government, she says, also promised to cap the cost of childcare at €200 a month. This is the one I'm slightly obsessed with. Something that would be done gradually during the lifetime of the government, but there was zero in this budget to begin the process, with nothing by way of help with childcare fees, which are a massive strain on family finances. And to highlight this, they meet Jessica Lee, a university lecturer in early childhood education and care. She knows all about this stuff and she's got a very good job. And she says affordability is just a huge problem. So Jessica Lee, she has two children, a three-year-old boy, four-month-old girl, lovely family. Henry's in the creche and Alice is going to join him from hopefully next September if they can get in. And she said, well, a new fee cap for those paying the highest fees will be introduced next year. The details are not going to be announced for months. And Jessica and her husband are paying €750 a month for Henry to go to the creche, which is after the universal subsidies put in. But their total childcare bill will go to between €1,200 and €1,500 a month when the two children are in together, which is more than their monthly mortgage payments. It is absolutely crushing. €1,500 a month in creche fees is absolutely crippling. I don't know how we're going to manage it. When we were promised ahead of the election, November 2024, that the €200 per month childcare thing, I got very excited about it. I thought that solves one problem. Now she can focus on the other cost of living issues. While it was great the government wanted to focus on affordability and accessibility, her worry was that when money is a priority, the quality suffers. And it's in the programme for government. Both parties promised €200 a month childcare. Simon Harris's party went further and said it would have a roadmap 100 days into office, which is a long time ago now, but there's no sign of it. And people are very, very upset about it. The Irish Sun actually covered, and they do, as they do a lot, focus on kids with additional needs and the families struggling there. They focused on these people, and their headline there is "Special education needed to be treated like a house on fire. It is not enough." And basically, there were promises again that the government would back these families, but they have failed to increase child benefit, did nothing to lower creche fees, and did not even reference the 5,000 plus children living in homelessness in emergency accommodation during the budget announcement. So children with additional needs are saying particularly let down. Adrienne Doyle Whelan, she has three kids, Max, Jessica and Teddy. And Teddy, he's 5.5 years of age and he's autistic. And there's a picture of the family, a very, very cute family. And so she's saying, what is she saying? What's Adrienne saying? "I don't think they've done a lot different. They've allocated a lot more compared to last year, but it's similar to the budget they had on special education. It doesn't sound like they prioritised it. I don't think it's enough." Budget 2026, the government saying we have got funding for 1,700 more special needs assistants, along with 1,000 more teachers. But it's a bit like announcing 1,000 new guards, but it's really just funding for it. And all the problems with getting those numbers are really, really difficult. This time last year, they promised an additional 1,000 guards over the next year, but they only managed to recruit just over 400, for example. But going back to special needs, there is an increase for payments for families on lowest incomes, which would be €8 for kids under 12, €16 for older children. The threshold for the working family payment has also gone up €60, which makes it more available to more families. And the fuel allowance is tweaked for them as well. For parents of children with additional care needs, there's also a domiciliary care allowance going up €20. So Mum Adrienne, she says she gets this domiciliary care allowance. That's welcome, that increase. But it's the lack of services is the problem. For the lack of services for children with additional needs, because there's 500,000 funding boost. What they want to do is increase the number of special staff to 150. Now, there are 45,000 kids with complex needs that would be involved in this Children's Disability Network teams. CDNT is very well known to these families. And Adrienne is saying it is a ridiculously low figure to increase that team to 150. It's a drop in the ocean. Teddy, a little 5-year-old, has been known to the CDNT since he was 2.5 years or even younger. He's 5.5 now. He still hasn't received any attention there. 150 staff is not going to cut it. And she's concerned about the provision of the private assessments, because they've thrown a load of money into private assessments, 6,500. And you get your assessment, which was supposed to happen very soon, and there's massive delays and it's not happening and it's essential and kids are going backwards as a result. But after you get your private assessment, there's nothing. Absolutely nothing. And St Vincent de Paul has joined the mum in criticising the lack of action on disability services for children in Budget 2026, because there are lots of promises that have been made. And Jack Chambers was on 6-1. He was asked about, you're kind of breaking promises here, aren't you? You said you do this, that and the other. People voted for you in the hopes that you do it. You're in government. Why aren't you doing it? And basically, long and short of it, he's saying, we have 5 budgets. And if we run our full term, we're going to future budgets will be able to make adjustments to the level of things like income tax. And that's what they're doing incrementally, is what he is saying. Miriam Lord is having great fun with Fianna Fáil. Fianna Fáil is hurting. It's bad enough Jim Gavin's face and name will remain on the ballot paper to taunt them all when they slink into vote, she says. But to compound the misery, when they all walked through Kildare Street gates yesterday for the budget statements, the lamppost outside still has a Jim Gavin poster looking down them. Oh my God. The opposition, says, and everyone else is knocking great crack out of the drama, thoroughly overshadowed the usual budget day hoopla. And to make things worse for Fianna Fáil, she says, usually you see budget days and was a massive party in the Dáil and you'd bring guests in and so on. They still have a dinner, but there's not much of a buzz around the place. Could it get any worse? Miriam Lord asks. Well, they very much could. No turkey and ham on the menu in the Dáil restaurant. A terrible oversight. The first time in 32 years, turkey and ham and all the trimmings wasn't an offer in the canteen on budget day. It really was a bad day for Fianna Fáil. And she quotes from Jack Chambers' speech, who she delightfully calls Chambers of Commerce. A poignant line from Jack. It is important to remember learning doesn't end with childhood. It can be a lifelong journey for us all. How true is what she says. He looked fierce shook all the same, didn't he? Looked very, very shook. And there are a couple of texts in on budget. On foot of the VAT reduction for hospitality, I'll be calling ahead in advance of any bookings I'll be making to ensure the reduction has been passed on to customers. If it hasn't, I'll be taking my business elsewhere, says Dee in Galway. And someone says, Michael Martin's, I suppose they mean Micheál Martin's, last budget was a bribe to voters. Well, that's what you kind of call it, in inverted commas. With giveaways last year, now he's a fan of the so-called targeted supports. give me strength, which isn't, that's always the way, the first budget of a new government, always the way. I thought I heard you say it was going to be budget free. No, I said the bulk of the hour will be budget free. Don't you worry. We'll leave it there. I take your point, David. All right. Because Claire Byrne is taking up on this because she has the two ministers, the two finance ministers, Pascal and Jack Chambers, live in studio to take the calls and the questions on the budget. 0818 715 105. And you can put your question live on air to the ministers. Thank you very much for your question, is what you'll get as a reward. Live on Claire Byrne from 10 o'clock. People were very worried about Dolly Parton overnight because her sister said she wanted prayers for Dolly Parton because she has health problems. Dolly Parton had postponed her Las Vegas residency, 79 years of age now, said she wasn't feeling great and needed to do a few procedures. So she was postponing that, health challenges. And when the sister complained, go, I need your prayers and I'm praying for Dolly, everyone went, what? What's wrong with her? And then she's now woke up and realised, oh, there's a lot of headlines about prayers for Dolly Parton. And Freda Parton says, I want to clear something up. I didn't mean to scare anyone, make it sound serious when asking for prayers. She's a little under the weather. I simply ask for prayers because I believe so strongly in the power of prayer. It's nothing more than the little sister asking for prayers. Thank you for lifting her up. Love truly makes a difference. The gist of it is she's going to be grand. Whew. No prayers. It's just, she'd be grand. Light a candle, kind of. Not light, yeah, light a candle is kind of, light a candle is before you get to the prayers bit, isn't it? I think, yeah. Who wants more traitors on the telly? The show about everyone lying to each other. Well, we absolutely loved it, so we're saying yes. Now, this is the English one, and it's the celebrity version, launching tonight on BBC One Television. The prize is £100,000 sterling for a charity of the celebrity winner's choice. Now, celebrity shows, reality shows, you go, ah, no, Maria. But there's actually very, very, very strong contenders, very, very big names, I mean, in the celebrity thing that's going on. Is Claudia Winkleman? Yeah, she's back. Claudia Winkleman in her fingerless gloves and her fringe. She'll be there. Alan Carr is in it. Charlotte Church. Claire Balding, Jonathan Ross, Kate Garraway, Stephen Fry, should have led with him, really, shouldn't they? Tom Daly, the Olympian, Paloma Faith, this is incredible. Paloma Faith is going to be in there. And any Irish interests? Yes, Ruth Codd, the actor who was in The Rise and Fall of the House of Usher on Netflix and other Netflix things and the live action version of How to Train Your Dragon. Ruth Codd is going to be in among them as well. So this is very, very exciting for us. But is it though? Because reality television works. It was something from The Guardian a couple of days ago that this kind of telly works and the traitors works because it's unvarnished selves, normal people showing their desires, flaws, highs and lows, just lows without self-consciousness because they're distracted by tasks and what's going on. And they're also fighting for a lot of money in that show, and it kind of the piece in The Guardian was talking about how it shows self-reflection and also our investment on what they want. We decide basically what they want to do with the money, what bad thing has happened to them in the past and makes them want the money more, what they're prepared to do to get the money, and we judge the whole thing. And that all Jeopardy is missing in the celebrity version, where they're going for charity because they're not going to, some of them are very rich anyway and they're not looking for the money, so you mightn't get the same authenticity, although people will still watch it as well, won't they? Denmark is going to try and do the thing that everyone has failed to do for many years. The government in this Scandi country proposing a ban on social media apps for under 15s. We've unleashed a monster, says one of the ministers. Mobile phones and social media are stealing our children's childhood, and the research is quite alarming. 94,000 of the country's young people have a social media profile, that's a very advanced way, before they're 13. Even though that's the minimum age for social media platforms. So the regulation isn't tight enough. And 14-year-olds, children from 9 to 14 are spending 3 hours of their day on TikTok and YouTube. And there's lots of evidence that this is extremely bad for them. And they're trying to do what Australia is currently struggling to do. There's huge public support in this, according to polls and surveys in Denmark. If they can carry it through, everyone is watching what happens in Australia because under 16s are banned from social media from December, and they're panic trying to work out the logistics of making that work. The Brits are trying to do that as well. Their age verification system is working, I believe, in England because you have to upload passports and so on. And in France, they're discussing doing it, but of course they're in disarray and they may well have a presidential resignation, basically, that's what will be going on. A lovely story about Seamus Heaney. A previously unpublished work is going to be included in a new Heaney collection. It's being published by Faber tomorrow. This is a trove of lovely treasures that we've never seen before. They're going to basically feature the poems of Seamus Heaney. Will feature his 12 collections interspersed with various work published in magazines, journals and newspapers, plus 25 poems selected from Heaney's large number of unpublished works. And the unearthed poems include one called Chair, Pocket Knife and Guitar, published for the first time. And they've worked basically with the family because he gave a lot of his letters and literary papers before his death in 2013 to the National Library of Ireland. And they kind of agonised over whether or not to publish it, because sometimes if a poet hasn't published it, do you have the right to do it afterwards? But because he gave his papers to the library, they didn't get a sense that he wished them to remain private. I'll give you a stanza, will I, for a bit of art. Take us out of that other story. It's called Chair, Pocket, Knife, Guitar, and each stanza deals with one. So this is the chair. The slatted folding chair you sat upon, the scantlings and ad hoc stuff of that playroom you screened out as you rocked on and on in perfect time before the television. Today, let all that tick-tock bric-a-brac come like a drumstick, stick man, rolling home. I like it because you want to reclaim the phrase TikTok, don't you, into its actual meaning, basically. There's a heap of meteors above Ireland this week. It's going to go till the 10th, which is Friday. They're called the Draconid meteor showers, and they're going to illuminate skies over Ireland. If we can get the weather for it, look up now as the sun is going down and so on. There should be tons of shooting stars, about 10 an hour. You'll see, trying to differentiate them from Elon Musk's satellites, though, because they also look like shooting stars at the moment. Look around. We think the weather might be OK in certain parts of the country. Anywhere south, if you draw a line from Leitrim to the top of Louth there, everything south of that should have moments of clearness. It's also a full moon at the moment and a harvest moon at that. That's a link if ever you want one. 51551 is the text. Beautiful stuff. Colette in Westport is enjoying that. Ah, yes. That explains my bad sleep. The harvest moon. Moon, says Marie. Yes, so that there's a reason why lunatic and being loony is all connected to the lunar moments that sort us out. By the way, that Seamus Heaney book, Arena's going to do a special show on that tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. here on this channel. So that'll be well worth tuning in for. Jumping back to the story of the week, probably the story of the year politically, is the withdrawal of Jim Gavin from the presidential election. Terrible news for Fianna Fáil and Micheál Martin. He's facing a very angry parliamentary party meeting this evening. And it all comes from that story in the Irish Independent last weekend that Jim Gavin, when he was a landlord, did not pay back the tenant €3,300 that the tenant had accidentally overpaid him for a flat in Dublin. It was 16 years ago and it still hadn't paid it back, and that's why he's out of the race. And that tenant was anonymous up to now, but there's a new element to the story because we can tell you this morning he's gone public. How did the Sunday World Crime World podcast get this exclusive? It turns out the tenant is a journalist with the Sunday World, Niall Donald, who we know. And he's co-host of this massive hit podcast with Nicola Tallant. And the episode has just arrived this morning. And Niall Donald is telling Nicola his story for the first time. And she asks him, how does he feel now about his former landlord, Jim Gavin?
Yeah. I think, does the punishment fit the crime? Probably not. Yeah. I kind of feel sorry for him that he wasn't handled better.
Yeah.
I mean, not blaming Fianna Fáil or whatever. Maybe they didn't get full info. I feel sorry for him because it's going to hang over him. But it did hang over me. Maybe
certainly
in a different,
did.
Maybe in a less public way, but it hung over me. But I do feel that maybe he's been punished too much, but yeah. I don't really know, Nicola.
Interesting empathy there for Jim Gavin's conundrum. And Nicola Tallant was also asking Niall, did he get the money back yet from Jim, the €3,300?
And sorry, by the way, have you been paid back the money yet?
No, I haven't. I haven't heard anything. And you know, obviously, when it comes to the money, like, you know, I mean, the statute of limitations for pursuing it is long gone. So I'm not going to be pursuing the money.
But
I can't legally.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm not going to be ringing up looking for my money.
Mm.
So it's up to him if he wants to pay it back or not.
There you go. Niall Donald is the tenant, and that's going to turbocharge the story all over again as they're trying to move away from it. It just won't go away. We're going to have a lovely chat about a 1950s starlet that everybody has forgotten. She's from Limerick, Constance Smith. We're going to talk to an actor of 2025 right after these.